You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Los Angeles Angels. The Angels are very much in the division race, despite having had a few setbacks lately, but they are right up there with the Oakland Athletics, and it seems to be a race to the finish. So let's bring in MLB.com reporter Alden Gonzalez to give us a little insight on what's going on with the Angels these days. Alden, let's start with the Tommy John surgery news for Tyler Skaggs. That was a big blow to the rotation, I know, and he's out until 2016. So what does this mean for the division race and to the rotation and just to the team overall?
I mean, it's devastating for the team simply because Allison Tyler showed so much promise this season, his age 22 season. He really made the strides that they expected. His fastball went all the way up to 95 miles an hour. I know there was some concerns when he was with the D-backs last year about that. And, you know, they told him, they gave him a choice. They told him you could either have the Tommy John surgery or try to rehab from it, you know, which would have involved platelet-rich injections that some pitchers try. That doesn't really work that often. And the organization really feels like Tyler made the right choice, which was to have surgery because he's only 23 years old. And they told him, look, best-case scenario, this is a 12-month recovery, but you're not coming back next year at all. It doesn't matter how good you feel around this time next year. We want to make sure that you're healthy for 2016. And, I mean, that changes a lot for the Angels because, number one, Allison, they were already thin on starting pitching. They had very little margin for error, very few safety nets because they don't have much in the upper levels of their system in regards to starting pitching. Now they're at five starters right now with really nothing else beyond that. They need Matt Shoemaker to continue to pitch well. He's a journeyman guy from AAA who's really come on this year. They need Hector Santiago, who's been erratic all year but has come on lately, to really take that rotation spot and pitch well for the last 2 months. If you remember, Hector Santiago was a starting pitcher to start the year. He started off the year 0-7, and he got demoted. So they need him to really get on track. And they really, really need C.J. Wilson to get back to being that number two guy that he was supposed to be when he came on a couple of offseasons ago. The guy he's been for the last 2 years, he's got an ERA over 11 in his last six starts. And, I mean, simply put, the Angels don't have the depth to survive C.J. Wilson not pitching to his capabilities. They're going to really keep their ears open for anything that comes through the waiver wire. They're going to try to maybe acquire some starting pitching depth, but, you know, that's very hard to come by this time of year when guys have to go through waivers, especially for a team like the Angels, which still has the second best record in baseball. So, like, they're in a really bad waiver position. There's not many guys who can fall to them right now. So they're really looking at it as they need the internal guys to really step up. One of the worst things about the Tyler Skaggs injury is that, I mean, it happened 4 hours after the trade deadline. At first it was diagnosed as a forearm strain, but it eventually evolved into Tommy John surgery. If it would have happened 48 hours earlier, I'm sure the Angels would have tried really hard to go after a starting pitcher. The fact that it came after July really, really hurts them, Allison.
I can't even imagine what the reaction was. I mean, the timing cannot have been worse. What is going on with C.J. Wilson? I mean, that is just an alarming. I mean, six games is not a small sampling, and an 11-plus ERA for a veteran guy like that, a left-hander. What's the problem?
A lot of things. C.J. is a guy who throws a lot of different pitches. He's a really smart pitcher, but he's a guy who tinkers a lot. Sometimes he gets to a point where he's kind of over-tinkering, thinking about so many different moving parts about his delivery and his leg kick and where he's releasing the ball and how to attack hitters. I feel like sometimes that can work to his detriment because he's a guy who overanalyzes, over-tinkers, and I think that's part of the reason why these slumps kind of snowball on him. And it's been something different every time. When he came back off the disabled list, he had that right ankle sprain. He talked about how while rehabbing, he discovered some tightness in his left hip that was kind of limiting his range of motion, not allowing him to finish pitches. He got that fixed while he was rehabbing that ankle sprain, and he felt like that was going to be the key to him kind of bouncing back over the last 2 months. He lasted 1 1/3 innings against the Rays in Tampa that Saturday when he got activated off the disabled list, and he struggled again in his last start, although he almost gave them six innings. The good thing for CJ, though, is, and one thing that he continued to mention the last time he pitched, his stuff is there. He feels like his fastball is good, his changeup is good. The curveball is cutting. The curveball has a lot of good sink to it. he's just not locating. And it was pretty obvious from seeing him that he was kind of aiming pitches at some point. There was this cutter that he just left out over the plate to Hanley Ramirez that he lined for a two-run single. He's just not locating his pitches right now. Maybe it'll be something different today. Maybe he bounces back. But he feels good in the fact that, at the very least, his stuff is there and he's healthy. So as long as that's there, there's always a possibility for him to bounce back, especially somebody with CJ's track record.
Yeah, I mean, he does seem like a pretty insightful, thoughtful guy who can really put this all in some kind of perspective, and he can look at it and say, okay, here's what's going wrong, here's what I need to do. It's just a matter of if he's actually going to be able to do it and if it's going to be in time to keep his team in any kind of division race.
Yeah, and they need him. Garrett Richards has stepped up. I don't know where the Angels would be if not for Garrett Richards. I mean, he's making an outside case for Cy Young, and Jed Weaver's been fine. They need that third guy. They need CJ to really be who he's been.
And so in the offseason, I mean, I know I've been reading that they're probably going to have to make some kind of move in the offseason. It won't be like a frontline guy. They're probably sort of maxed out when it comes to the amount of dollars they can spend. So it won't be like a Scherzer or a Lester, but maybe a second-tier guy. You can see them making some kind of free agent signing.
Yeah, and Jerry said it flatly that they are going to have to look for some depth starting pitching-wise. But he wants short-term contracts, maybe back-end starters. I don't think this is a team that can absorb any more long-term contracts. And, you know, you've seen how much of a risk these long-term contracts are for pitchers, for any player, but particularly for pitchers. So I really don't see them being in the market for a guy like John Lester or Max Scherzer, maybe even a James Shields, any of those guys, especially when you think next year is the first year that Mike Trout's mega extension counts against their competitive balance tax payroll. So they're really at that luxury tax threshold next year. They're going to try to get some mid-rotation, back-rotation starters on short contracts. But I'll caution this is what the Angels tried to do two off-seasons ago. They went out and got Joe Blanton, who was a guy who ate innings and who always stayed healthy, and they went out and traded for a guy like Tommy Hansen. That did not work well at all. So there's always risk when you're signing these kind of middling free agents.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, they kind of need to be those fifth starters who could be skipped when there's off days and for mesh in that way, but you can't really count on them for, you know, 180 innings every year, or else you're going to be in big trouble. So to keep with the theme of, you know, how wonderful and sunny things are going with the Angels right now, the offense seems to be having some problems too. So scoring runs has sort of eluded them lately. Of what's going on in that end?
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, the one thing that Mike Soshi keeps referencing, because the offense has been a really big talking point ever since the All-Star break. I mean, they've been bottom three in the majors in OPS and runs per game since the All-Star game. The one word that Mike Soshi keeps referencing when talking about his offense is that this is cyclical. That, you know, offensive struggles are cyclical within seasons. There's ups and downs. It's just how it is. And you know what? He's right. And that's kind of the risk that you take on when you build a team around offense. There's going to be slumps like this. There's going to be points in the season when you're just not clicking on all cylinders. It's inevitably going to happen. That's why pitching is so important. That's why starting pitching is so important, because that's the one thing that could make up for any deficiencies in your club. The Angels are a team that's built around their offense. It's no secret. And the one thing that Jerry Dipoto brought up when we were asking him, you know, about the Tyler Skaggs injury and about going after these top-tier starting pitchers was, we need to stick to we have a model that we built this team after. We need to stick to our model. That model is shoring up the bullpen, giving themselves a very deep bullpen, which they have, and relying on an offense that's going to score 4.5, 5 runs a game. When that's not happening, that's when the Angels start losing. They really need their offense to step up. They need particularly Josh Hamilton. Once again, I mean, it's deja vu with him. He was on an 0-for-23 slump before he hit a key double in Saturday's game, and he was benched on Sunday. He has not really been the prototypical cleanup hitter for them. It's a wonder that they're even a top-3 offense in baseball without typical production from the cleanup spot that Josh Hamilton has not given them. He's the one who really needs to step up, and this offense really needs to step up right now. This is a little point in their schedule where maybe it's kind of a soft spot. They just came off a 3-game series against the Red Sox. They got 2 against the Phillies. Then they travel to face the Rangers and the Red Sox just before they go to Oakland to play a key series against the A's. They need to take advantage and beat the teams they got to beat, and they got to beat mediocre starting pitching. They haven't even been able to do that lately.
It's interesting because, I mean, there's, what, like 50 games maybe left on the schedule, somewhere around there, and they have 10 games left with the A's and 7 with the Mariners. They end the season in Seattle. So this could swing any way. I mean, I've been kind of looking at the division and thinking, well, the A's and the Angels are, you know, they're obviously at the very top, and then the Mariners are really trying to get one of these wild card spots. But things could flip on a dime. I mean, especially, you know, what you say really rings true. And the if the rotation is not really – there's no wiggle room, and there's absolutely no breathing room, and they're not doing that well. And the offense, it's hard to build a championship team on offense and have, you know, lesser pitching. I mean, everybody knows that that's not going to get it done. So things could really look dramatically different in that division at the end of this season.
Yeah, and in good and bad ways, Allison. And then fans are freaking out right now because the Angels aren't winning at the pace that they were winning at right before the end of the first half. But they, as you mentioned, they have 10 games left against the A's. 3 of them are going to come in the second-to-last series of the regular season right before they go to Seattle to finish off the year. If they beat the A's, if they take care of business against the A's, something they have not been able to do this year, they could catch up to them. 4 games looks like a lot at this time of year, especially with the rotation that the A's have. But if the Angels go in there and they do really well against the A's, as you said, this can swing really quickly.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting to watch. So we'll keep our eye on them. And Alvin Gonzalez, thank you so much. We will be checking in with you very soon.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game streamed live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.